Song we just played? Moody Blues. It's called The Voice. And later, someone special will be telling us a little bit about The Voice and what that means and who knows what voice is what and who follows what voice. And I think you know who that's going to be. Anyway, good morning. We are so glad you're here to Shine, First United Methodist Church. I'm TJ, the producer of the service. Great to see you. It's a fresh morning. Still waiting for spring out there, but it's coming. Easter's coming too. We got a lot of things happening. Today is kind of a special day in the whole world of United Methodist Churches, and I want to tell you a little bit about it, so check out this video.
The United Methodist Committee on Relief gets the ball rolling when disaster strikes. Moving into action, alleviating human suffering, triggering fast response, and long-term assistance. But UMCOR can't do it without your donations to one great hour of sharing. UMCOR projects get 100% of designated funds, and one great hour of sharing makes it possible.
So, there's an envelope in your bulletin. If you want to give specifically to the One Great Hour of Sharing, you can do so using that envelope, or just log on to our website, and it'll direct you to exactly where you need to go. Hey, there's some friendship pads in the aisles. We would like to get to know you. If you have any questions you want to field our way, any comments, you can use those friendship pads in the aisle to tell us. We'd also just love to get to know you. So if you put your phone number in there, or we can give you a call, text you, whatever it takes, to get to know you and see who you are and what your story is. It's also time for March Madness for Missions, the NCAA basketball tournament right around the corner. With your help, our March Madness fundraiser hopes to raise $4,000 for Imagine No Malaria. Entry donations are $10 in the fellowship hall, so if that's something that you do every year, as I know some of you do, feel free to go over there. And if you've never done it before, it's for a good cause, helping people to stay healthy and free of disease. So go ahead and check that out in Fellowship Hall. We also invite you to join us each Wednesday morning during Lent. You guys do know Lent is upon us, right? So you can join us every Wednesday there for a brief service of music, prayer, preaching, and communions. Very cool. Pastor Lori will be leading the service this week beginning at 7:40. So if you want to join us for that, that'd be great. If any of you are thirsty, now the time has come. If you didn't get your coffee, we want you to stand up, greet each other, get to know somebody, shake a hand, get some coffee, and we'll be right back with a worship set. So go ahead.
All right, if you would stand with me this morning as we begin worship. Now, this very first song we're going to do is a beautiful song. It tells the whole story of Christ all the way from Christmas right through Easter. So today we're going to do the first verse, and then in the coming weeks we're going to add verses so that we can all experience the story through this beautiful song.
Come behold the wondrous mystery in the dawning of the King. He, the theme of heaven's praises, robed in frail humanity. In a longing, in a darkness, now the light of life has come. Look to Christ who condescended, took on flesh to ransom us.
It's a beautiful song. It's a way to start us on this journey towards Easter. And then we're going to start the next song. A song that you know as well. We've done it over the last couple weeks. This is a song that we've come together and prepared for you, and hopefully you're becoming a little more familiar with it so you can sing it with us, because it's one of the ones we're going to do for the live album that's coming up. If you haven't heard about that, come and talk to me about it later.
Thank you.
as we meditate on that, as we think about God is always with us, shining on us, I'd ask you to have a seat and continue in a spirit of prayer. And remember, God is truly with us, shining on us, through that darkness, guiding us wherever he wants to take us.
If we're to be changed, we must be vulnerable to God's Spirit, offering ourselves as a living sacrifice to his leading, his sanctification, and his design for our lives. Lord, help us not to copy the behavior and customs of this world, but as Romans 12 says, let you transform us into new persons, changing the way we think, so we will learn to know your will for us, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Thank you, Lord, and give us the grace we need to implement this into our lives.
Hear from you today. have so many prayers. We have so many needs. And you can answer those prayers. And you will, and you do. So, Lord, we'll take a moment now, and each one of us will call out to you that prayer concern that we have, that we need you to answer. And so, Lord, hear us. Hear us as we pray to you. Each one of us individually, Lord. So we pray for all of our pastors here at First Church. We pray for Gary and Lori and Lindsay. We pray for our new pastor, Zach, who will be at Berkeley, and our new pastor who will come here to Shine soon, Pastor Dan. We pray for our local leaders, Lord. We pray for our mayors and our state representatives. And we pray for the governor. We pray for the United States, Lord. We pray for all the leaders all over the United States, those that are elected officials in government and those who are local leaders in their church and local leaders in their jobs, Lord. We pray that you would guide them and give them wisdom. We pray for the world, Lord. We pray for the people who have influence over the world and how it goes. We pray that they would hear from you and take the world in your direction. And Lord, bring it back to our church home. I bring it back to the people who are here, Lord, the ones who show up every day. I pray for each congregant here today at Shine, that whatever ails them, whatever is in their bodies, in their hearts, in their minds, their physical bodies, their spiritual bodies, Lord, that you would bring healing. I pray specifically for our staff members here at the church. They give so much time. They give so much energy and so much love, all for you, Lord, all for you. Pray for healing in all of the ways that they need it most, for you are the great healer. Lord, we thank you. And now we come together as one voice to pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And now as we take our offering, if you're a full-time member here, if you've devoted your life to Christ, if you're 100% in, this time is for you. Feel free to give as the Spirit tells you to. And if you're your baskets are at the end of the center aisle. If you're a guest today, this part's not for you. We just want you to enjoy the service today, and please feel welcome and feel at home. And thank you.
Good morning, friends. We come to a time of particular joy in the life of this congregation or any congregation when we receive new members into our fellowship. And we have a few new members who are going to be joining here at Shine and several who joined in the sanctuary. How many people are joining today, Mary?
I think we're really at about 20 or 22. It's been fluctuating all day. So we have those that are on our sheets, on the green sheets, but some people have some illnesses and some surprises. But everyone who is designated to join here at Shine is here. So my invitation, though, before we get started in introducing those who are joining today, if there is anyone else sitting here in the congregation who would like to become a member today, you may feel free to join us as well. So those who are joining that we know about, would you come, and anybody else as well? And turn and face the congregation. When I introduce you, you're fine. When I introduce you, just kind of give a royal wave so that we can put names and faces together. So with us today here are Anthony and Allison Case, Ted and Robin Henderson, Miles Jones.
Hey, Miles.
Kimberly Lennox. Did I forget anybody? Got them all? Okay.
Very good. Well, on behalf of the entire congregation, then, we ask you these questions. Do you, in the presence of God in this congregation, renew the vow that you made or that was made in your name at your baptism? If so, say, we do. And do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and pledge allegiance to his kingdom, the kingdom of God? If so, say, we do. And do you receive our faith as it is contained in the Old and New Testaments? If so, say we do. And will you then reflect that faith in the lives you lead, the work you do, and the examples that you set, and the service that you render? If so, say we will. And finally, will you be loyal to this congregation of the United Methodist Church, upholding it by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, we will. Thanks be to God. Mary.
Brothers and sisters, I commend to your love and care these persons whom we this day receive into membership of this congregation. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. And your response would be, we give thanks for all that God has already given to you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully, participate in ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, gifts, service, and witness, that is in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
A good look at all the faces up here this morning. And at the end of the service, I'm just going to ask them to stand up about where they are and invite you to come forward and greet them. There's no time to do that right now, and I know that you'll want to have an opportunity to do that. But for now, I'll simply welcome you all into the fellowship of the church. Sean.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. Welcome. And you can have a seat. What I need is a pulpit on wheels, because this thing is heavy. I want to lift up a special prayer concern for you today. I'm not sure if that was up on the screen, because I didn't pay attention to everything on the screen prior to the service today, but our Director of Administrative Services here at the church, Janet Smiley, took a bad fall down in Orlando with her daughter yesterday. She broke an elbow in two places. Pastor Lori's done that and knows how difficult and how painful that can be. Janet is going to be having surgery today at 1 p.m. in Orlando, and we ask you to pray for successful surgery and for swift healing for her. That's going to be a challenge. Our reading from Scripture today comes again from the book that we are reading as a congregation, The God We Can Know, the I Am Sayings of Jesus, featuring I Am the Good Shepherd saying today. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd, does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up. I have received this command from the Father." This is God's living word for God's living people. Thanks be to God. Amen. About 15 years ago, there's a shepherd who's out in the field one afternoon keeping watch over his flock. And suddenly a Jeep Grand Cherokee pulls up. Out walks a young man in his 20s, dressed in khaki pants, a blue button-down shirt, and well-worn Nikes. And the young man says to the shepherd, "If I can tell you and guess how many sheep are in your flock, will you give me one of them?" And the shepherd says, "Okay," because he knew he had a lot of sheep. It'd be hard for that guy to know. But the young man takes out his laptop. He uses an internet connection, using a wireless connection. He pulls up a GPS satellite site. He locates that area, zooms in, and a number of white dots suddenly show up on his screen representing sheep out there in the fields. And the young man quickly counts all those dots, a lot of them, and proudly tells the shepherd that he has 1,586 sheep there in his flock. And the shepherd is amazed. It's the correct number. So he tells the young man to pick out a sheep. And the young man picks one out, places it in his Jeep, prepares to drive off. The shepherd says, "Before you go, I have a challenge for you. If I guess your occupation, will you give me your Jeep?" The young man says, "Okay, that's only fair." The shepherd promptly tells the young man that he's a consultant. The young man is shocked and amazed and asked the shepherd how it was that he figured that out. And the shepherd said, "First, it was easy. First, you came without being called. Second, you charged me a sheep to tell me something I already knew. And third, you obviously don't know anything about what I do because that was my dog you put in the back of your Jeep. Can't you tell a sheep from a dog?" According to the 2013 World Sheep Inventory, the country with the most sheep is China, with 185 million sheep. Next closest country is Australia, with 75.5 million sheep. In 2013, there is a grand total of 1,172,833,191 sheep precisely in the world. The United States is not one of those major sheep-producing countries. You didn't pass any flocks on your drive into the church today, I don't think. The sheep and lamb inventory in the United States on January 1st of this year totaled 5.32 million head, up 1% over 2015. In fact, over the last 20 years, the number of sheep in this country has been cut in half. It's been declining for a long time. It's been declining really ever since World War II, when the American sheep industry hit its peak. Today, the domestic sheep herd is 1/10 the size that it was in World War II, and sheep account for only 1% of total U.S. livestock receipts. The decline of sheep in the U.S. is the result both of economics and cultural factors coming together. People are not wearing wool as much as they once were. They wear a lot of wool in China. We're wearing a lot more synthetics here in the United States. Another problem is our perception of lamb. Longtime sheep producers put the blame on the meat fed to soldiers way back in World War II. Our troops were fed a lot of canned mutton. And when they came home, they said, "We're done. No more mutton." And today, the average person in the U.S. eats less than 1 pound per year. When was the last time that you had lamb? Maybe recently. When the Gospel of John was written, shepherds tending their flocks were a common sight in the Holy Land, as it still is today. Most everyone knew the important role that shepherds had. They understood the symbolic meaning of the words that John had in his Gospel, as well as the similar references in the Psalms and in the prophets and in the words of Jesus. Shepherds cared for their flocks with a passion. Every lamb was precious. It was their life. The first time I ever really saw a shepherd was with his herd of sheep during a trip to the Holy Land way back in the 1980s. Watching a shepherd leading his flock across the hills is just a really wonderful sight. From far off, those steep hills can seem so barren, so dry, so lifeless. But if you get up close to them, you'll see that they are just crisscrossed with hundreds upon hundreds of tiny little tracks that the sheep can travel quite easily, that people have a lot of difficulty traveling. I'm reminded of how David, as a young shepherd guarding his flock, wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I also remember how the prophet Isaiah saw the promised Messiah as a shepherd and said, "He will feed his flock like a sheep. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently tend those who are with young." The picture becomes even more vivid in the New Testament. Jesus says, "What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 in the sheepfold and go to find that one lost sheep?" And in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, we read, as Jesus went ashore, he saw a great throng, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. In our scripture for today, Jesus refers to himself with two I am sayings. And you know how important those I am sayings are. Going back to the first sermon in this series, I am is a phrase identified with God. And here his two sayings are, I am the gate and I am the good shepherd. The word that we translate here as good can perhaps better be translated as model or even as noble. Jesus is the model shepherd, the cast from which all other shepherds take their form. He's the noble shepherd, meaning only a truly noble shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And there are four primary characteristics of a good or model or noble shepherd, which Jesus highlights for us. And the first thing is that shepherds know their sheep. They know them. They've been with them from their birth. They're personal to them. They know them. The first priority of the shepherd is to know their sheep. In most villages in Israel, there were communal sheepfolds, either just outside the village or out there in the hills where they were grazing, where all the shepherds would bring their flocks. They'd all bring them together. They'd all be in this large sheepfold made out of rocks. At the entrance was the gatekeeper. And the gatekeeper was usually one of the shepherds. And his task was to guard the flock, to guard that sheepfold, and not allow anyone in but the shepherds of those flocks. Many flocks, some large, some small, would be brought together by the shepherds into the safety of that fold every night, where they would be safe from predators. Anyone, as Jesus says, who went over the wall, doesn't go in by the gate, is a thief. But the gate There's no physical gate. When you see a sheepfold over in Israel, even today, there's no gate that you unlock or that you latch and that you open up and that you close and keep the sheep safe there. It's just an entryway. The sheep all mix together, but the shepherd lays down in that entranceway. The shepherd himself is the gate. And so when morning comes, it's time for the shepherd to lead his sheep out to pasture. How does he find all of his sheep in the midst of all those flocks that are mixed in together? Why, he calls them. He calls them by name. Sheep actually know the voice of the shepherd. And so a shepherd would stand up out of that gate, he'd stretch, and he'd call to his flock to come follow him, and those sheep, just his sheep, would come and follow him. They know his voice. Then another shepherd would stand up and stretch and call his sheep, and then they would go out to pasture. Sheep know their voice. Do you understand? Jesus is saying that he is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd knows you as intimately as a shepherd of a flock of sheep knows his own flock. You think about that. Christ, the good shepherd, knows you. You might not like that thought, but he knows you. He knows your name. Like a shepherd, he knows everything about you. He's been there from the very beginning and through all of your days. If you and I could claim that truth and know the personal element of God, God is not distant. God is a person who is with us. If we could claim that truth, that Jesus knows us intimately, knows our name, our innermost self, how might it transform our life? It could. The second responsibility of the shepherd is to feed and to care for the sheep. Not just enough for Jesus to know us by name. The shepherd has to go to great extremes to find pasture upon which sheep can feed and water that they can drink. You see, whether sheep are ultimately helpful or harmful depends upon the quality of the shepherd. Sheep have the capacity to be absolutely the most ruinous creatures in all of creation. Some foolishly believe that sheep can thrive anywhere. But quite the opposite is true. No other livestock requires more careful handling or personalized attention. Sheep must be under constant, scrupulous watch. Why is that? Well, it has been said that sheep are dumb, directionless, and defenseless. It's the three D's of sheep. They're dumb, directionless, and defenseless. They can seem mindless. When left to themselves, sheep will follow the same old trails until they become ruts. They'll graze themselves into the corner of a field where there's either rocks there or whether there's a fence, and they'll just stay there. They'll just stay there grazing, eating all of what's there until they're virtually eating dirt, until somebody leads them away. And sheep will pollute their own ground until it becomes corrupt with disease and parasites. My grandfather was a rancher in New Mexico, and I got to tell you, he absolutely hated sheep. They ruin pastures. Many of the world's finest ranges have been ruined beyond repair by overgrazing, by poor management, and indifferent or ignorant owners. Every herd of sheep needs what is called a bellwether. Have you ever heard of a bellwether? You know what that is? It's a sheep who will take initiative, and a bell is oftentimes put around their neck so that when a shepherd is away, a little distant, or is taking a nap, he can find where the bellwether has led the flock, because all the sheep will follow wherever that bellwether will lead. A bellwether is the one sheep in the flock who will take initiative and move them. And if the bellwether moves, the sheep will follow them. But if ever an animal needs a shepherd, it is sheep. And so in saying that he is the good shepherd, Jesus not only loves you and me, but stands ready to guide us and feed us when we are hungry. As David said in the 23rd Psalm, he's the good shepherd. The Lord is my good shepherd. He'll take me beside the green pastures and the still good waters. He'll feed us when we're hungry. He takes us away from the barren places to where there's food and drink. Third responsibility of a shepherd is to protect the sheep. Not only does the shepherd do all he can to provide pasture and water for the sheep, but he also risks his life to protect them from robbers and wild animals. And this is where we discover the difference between a shepherd and a hired hand. The shepherd will risk his life for his sheep, but the hired hand will run at the first sign of danger. The hireling doesn't care for the sheep. He's only there for the money. But there's more. Jesus calls himself the gate. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes in only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Remember, a shepherd always lies in the gate at night so that no one can get in without going through him. For the gospel writer John, Jesus is the gate. He's the fulfillment of all that's given in the law. Jesus is the one who unlocks the secrets of life. And the last responsibility of the shepherd is to be ready to lay down his life for the sheep. I know my own, Jesus said, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to pick it up again. Good shepherds will do anything to save one of their sheep, even giving their own life. That's what a model shepherd, a noble shepherd would do. Do you see what Jesus did here? The good shepherd takes the place of the paschal lamb that was sacrificed at the Passover feast. He is the pure, unblemished, sacrificial lamb of God. Each of these I am sayings replaces some aspect of Jewish practice and tradition. And here he's saying, I am the lamb who will be sacrificed for you. In a few minutes, Jesus invites us to come to his table. It's the longest table in the world, a table that extends to the farthest corners of the earth. As you come forward, I invite you to ask yourself, have I stayed close to the good shepherd? Have I listened to his voice? Do I know his voice? Am I willing to follow him? Will I obey his commandments to love, to long suffering, to turn the other cheek, to return good for evil, to forgive no matter what, to be generous to all? You know how sheep get lost, don't you? They just sort of mindlessly nibble and graze their way away from anything else. They'll head off in one direction and they don't see anything else. They're just nibbling their way until they're lost. They become more concerned about food and satisfying their own desires, their own path, than sticking close to the shepherd. And in time, they gradually graze themselves out of the flock. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Yet thanks be to God for the good shepherd who knows our name, who calls us by name, searches for us until we are found, lies across the gate to keep us safe, and feeds us with the bread of life. May we pray. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still. Amen.
Into the depths of darkness, your arms pull me to the light above them. Your voice spoke the words that broke my heart. Your eyes burn with holy passion fire. shadows of death's dark endure you made. Tables right before my enemies you take. Oil and then you pour it over me. You are my shepherd. I will fear no evil. Fear no evil. You are my shepherd. I will fear no evil. Surely goodness and mercy shall cover me. All the days of my life they shall cover me.
Shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you, my God, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup, it overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of our Lord.
People, you need not be a member here. This sacrament is given for all. May we pray. It is right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O God, Creator of all, for you are our good shepherd, and there is nothing we lack. You are our bread of life, preparing a table for us, even in the presence of our enemies. You anoint our heads with oil, the cup of blessing overflows. You are holy, O God. Blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For Jesus is the light of the world, dispelling darkness and uncovering what is hidden. Since the world began, who has seen such things? On the night Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take it and eat, and do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took cup again, gave thanks to the Father, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. It's the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this as often as you do it in remembrance of me." By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with your church in all the world. Help us to live as your children, always seeking what is good and right and pleasing to you. Now bless us as we pray as Jesus taught, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Would the servers come forward? Right there on the top is going to fall. Body and blood of Christ from the Good Shepherd who knows you and loves you always. Would you take this? Body and blood of Christ who knows you and loves you is with you always. Thank you. Now may you run and not grow weary. May you walk and not faint until that day when God's love is all in all in God's wonderful and frightening and beautiful world. And may the love which was and is in Jesus Christ, the good shepherd of the flock, be also in your hearts and keep you close to him, both now and always. Amen and amen. Go in God's peace.
Through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I won't fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me.
Minute, go greet our new members if you have a minute.